It seems that there can be no Christmas celebration or scene or presentation without the wise men being part of this picture. And being born in a Christian country, Greece, where every celebration was a big celebration. As a matter of fact, speaking to the missionary this morning in Armenia, she said these celebrations last for at least a week or two, Christmas, New Year. And we have come up with all kinds of gadgets and pictures and theories and stories of who these wise men were, how many they were, and all kinds of things. Yet, people in general know very little about the wise men, magi or magi. The Greek word is magos or magi, plural. Also, people are confused about the timing and events surrounding the birth of Christ. Now, I'm saying this because we are told that Jesus was born on January the 1st or this whatever date that was, and yet I believe the correct date would be about 4 before Christ that Jesus was born. That's what historians and that's what theologians have said. That does not matter to us, the born-again believers, or to us, the believers, or those of us who call ourselves Christians, because it's not the date, it's not even exactly how, but it is, the important thing is who came and was born in a manger and then died for our sins. Verse 1 may appear to indicate that the wise men came to worship Jesus in the manger, and that King Herod tried to kill Jesus while Mary and Joseph were still in the stable at Bethlehem. But the biblical evidence points to a time of at least 1 year later, but not more than 2 years. In Matthew 2:11, we read, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Also, the fact that Herod ordered all male children under 2 years old to be killed is an indication that some time had passed since the birth of Christ. Now, where did these men come from? How long were they traveling? How many were they? What they were looking for is a question, or are questions that we must ask. They were magi or magi, probably religious men, astrologers, wise men searching to find the truth about God and life. Now, these men were religious people. They had their own religion. And so my question would be, if they had a religion, why were they looking for another one? And if they were looking for another religion, why wouldn't they accept the Jewish faith or another pagan faith? Well, actually, these men, they were religious, and yet they were not satisfied with their religion. And they were searching to find the truth, the true God. They were perhaps from southern Arabia or Persia, from where the human race had its origin, the land of Abraham, Babylon. They traveled for at least a thousand miles over deserts and full of bandits and criminals. Once again, 1,000 miles to find something they thought was the truth. And I was thinking about this. What about their families? What about their business? What about their commitment? One day they woke up, they went to their family members and they said, you know what, we're going for a journey. And they said, yeah, where are we going? And probably this wise man said, no, you're not coming. I'll be going with two others and a group of people that will be following us. And they said, probably, where are you going? They said, we don't know. And they said, the question was, who are you looking for? And they said, we don't know. And they asked probably, how long will it take? The answer was, we don't know. And how will you find it? Well, the star is going to show us. So probably their families thought they had gone crazy mad. And yet they didn't care. They were searching to find the truth, the true living God, the star. Contrary to common belief, there were more than three people. There must have been many accompanying them for safety and other practical reasons. To the question, who were these men? They probably were pagan priests or astrologers whose rituals centered around the elements of nature. And because of their knowledge and predictive powers, they were often chosen as counselors to the king. They may have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Messiah's coming, and perhaps they knew of the prediction that a star would come out of Jacob, Numbers 24:17. They knew the Bible, even though they were pagan. But I believe that the knowledge was given to them supernaturally by God. Regardless of their wisdom, regardless of their theological understanding of stuff, regardless of the number of people in this group, I believe that they found the Messiah, Jesus, because God led them to him. The supernatural intervention of God. First was, where are these men? Who were these men? Then, what were they looking for? Because they were not content with man-made religions, they were searching to find the true God. They wanted to worship the living God, not dead or man-made gods and religions. They had a very good understanding of theology. As a matter of fact, they worshiped spirits and the sun and the moon and the stars. As a matter of fact, when I was in Armenia last year, or a couple of years ago, I went to a village that they are all Zoroastrians. They worship the moon and the star, Armenians in Armenia. And there was an elderly man, and I put him on Facebook. You probably saw my picture with an old man. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Muhammad. I believe in Buddha. I believe in the stars. I believe in the moon. I believe in... I said, why? Well, he says, just, I believe. Well, probably these men were something like that, too. They believed in some kind of a religion, and yet they were not satisfied. They really wanted to find the living God. People today have a lot of stuff that they believe in. There is so much religion that you don't know what to do. The people don't know what to do with religion. There are so many theories. There are so many doctrines. There are so many people that have been worshiping gods or a god or a wrong god or the right. And yet, the human heart searches to find the real God. The God that will fill that emptiness, that empty hole. And these wise men were searching to find this a Messiah, the God that they didn't know who he was. The third question may be, how did they find him? Now, it's a good question. From where they came to Bethlehem is a long journey. I don't know how many of you can visualize where they came from. And they, guess what? They didn't even have a GPS. If they had a on the other hand, they did have a GPS. It was the best possible GPS available. They didn't have to type in anything. They didn't have to program it. They didn't have to do anything. The star, the GPS, directed them, guided them to the right spot. People don't believe in this. And I was searching to find what people's opinions were about this wise man. And they said, well, probably going back to history, mankind and astrologers, and they were explaining all kinds of things. All I'm saying is this. What happens to the Creator? If he created the earth, if he created us, he can direct a star or even make something to look like a star that will guide them. I don't know. We don't know exactly how, but God knows exactly what that GPS was like. How did they find him? Through perseverance. They were determined to find him no matter what. Now, this is something that we don't see anymore. We don't see too many people, at least in our Western society, doing everything possible to find the truth, to find the living God, to find not religion, there is religion, to find not leaders, there are a lot of leaders, most of them or some of them may be corrupt and pretend to be who they are. But they were searching to find the living God. And that was their aim. Think of what it may have cost them to find the King Jesus. Time. It may have taken them a year or more. We don't know exactly. And yet, they gave up everything to find Jesus. Today, please, I'm not trying to point any fingers, but I am at the same time. People won't give an hour of their time to worship God. Yes, they worship where they are. Yes, they think of God. But they first think of the gifts and the food and the reunion of the family and all kinds of things. And yet, these wise men gave everything, all the time available to them for a period of time. They were consumed with the idea of finding the true God. It cost them other important tasks or business commitments. It cost them money. Do you think it was cheap to travel from somewhere from Iraq or wherever they came from, all the way down there, food, camels, they had to pay those who came with them. I suppose that they spent all their savings to find the Messiah. What about the risks? There were many risks. Going through those areas was very dangerous. There were all kinds of situations that they would be facing. Nothing was more important than finding the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. These important wise men were willing to give anything, even their lives, to find and worship him. But so many Christians will not even take time to attend church or an extra meeting today, let alone to serve him and worship him, if that interferes with their schedule and life. You may say, well, you're overdoing it. You don't understand today's society. You don't understand business. Well, to be honest with you, I do understand. I do have a business. At my age, my wife and I do run a business, and I know time is money. And yet, I believe that God, the living God, the presence of the Holy God in my life, in my family, is more important than anything. But so many Christians don't think so. After a long and difficult journey, they reached Judea. They probably thought that their difficulties would be over. All of a sudden, probably thought, okay, we've come, we have arrived. They may have thought that the roads would be crowded with people that had come to worship the King Jesus. But they were disappointed when they saw the empty streets. In fact, no one even knew anything about the birth of the Messiah, the King. Yet, they pressed on, continued searching without fear, determined to find him. How unlike us, we would have been discouraged. When this wise man had come to that area where they thought the King was born, as I mentioned, they probably thought the entire nation would be celebrating. They probably thought the entire religious society or the religious people would be so excited of praising God and celebrating about the birth of the Messiah. And yet, they didn't see any of that. If today somebody came to Canada, to Montreal, looking at all these celebrations, they would have thought, we all have found finally the Messiah, and we are rejoicing for finding the Messiah, and yet, very often, the Messiah, Jesus, is not found anywhere. They found him through God's providence. How did they find him? Through God's providence. In Proverbs 8:17, we read, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Now, I don't know about today's modern theologies and doctrines, but the Bible is very clear with this statement that says, those who seek me find me. There is something that we as human beings have to do, and that is look up like this wise man and look at the star, see the star, smell the coffee, as they would say, and find him. And if we seek, if we look for God, he has promised to reveal himself to us. Forget about all these doctrinal confusions. There is no doctrinal confusion when the star lights brightly and says, go that way, just you follow the star. When John said, the apostle said, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, three times, Jesus said, follow me, follow the star, not anyone else. They found him through God's providence. They found him through their desire to find eternal hope and life. What kinds of gifts did they give him? First, gold. A symbol of deity and glory. It speaks of the shining perfection of his divine person. Also, gold was practical and useful to have, for Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt. I mean, empty words would not have helped much. They came, they worshipped him, but also they brought the best they had. Please note that gold was the practical side of their worship. There are three practical things they offered. First was gold. Then they offered frankincense. Incenses or incense is an ointment of perfume, a symbol of worship. Here it symbolizes the fragrance of the sinless life of Jesus. The fragrance of the sinless life of Jesus. This was the spiritual side of the worship. First was the practical side of their worship. Then was the spiritual side of their worship. Then myrrh and aromatic gum. It is oil. Its oil was used in beauty treatment and sometimes mixed with wine and drunk to relieve pain. The wise men brought myrrh to Jesus at his birth, a gift fit for a king. The soldiers, you remember, brought wine mixed with myrrh to Jesus before they crucified him. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea brought myrrh and applied it to his body after his death. Myrrh was the costly and beautiful side of their worship. When God sent his only son to earth, the king sought to kill him. The people to whom he came to save ignored him and later killed him. But shepherds from the nearby fields and wise men from far east came to worship him and gave him their gifts. The religious people ignored him and then killed him. But the uneducated shepherds, who were the bottom of the society, were informed of the birth of the Messiah. And then people from the Orient traveled for a long time to find the Messiah. And yet the religious people, that they knew already about his coming, the prophets had shouted it. Isaiah had explained, had given them a very accurate picture of Jesus. He is going to be born of a virgin. He will be suffering. And yet religious people did not pay any attention. You will often hear me say things against religion. And when I say religion, I don't mean our faith in God. I don't mean worshiping God. I don't mean gathering together here as a family of believers to worship Him. But I'm talking about organizations that call themselves a religion. Man-made religions. Man trying to reach God and ignore the hand that has come all the way down to help. Ignore Jesus, God Himself, who came to give us peace, joy, salvation, serenity, if you wish. Ignore Him and then come up with our own doctrines, explaining what this means, explaining what that is, explaining what it is, this communion thing and that. God hates religion. But God, in Malachi we read that your offerings make me sick. Unless we're worshiping the living God, unless we know that the child that we celebrated that was born is the Messiah, is the King, is the Savior that is on the cross dying for us, unless we believe that and we invite Him in our life and we surrender our life and then follow Him, all the rest is all religion. What about us? What should we give Him? Shouldn't we, like the wise men, bring Him the best we have? The practical, the spiritual, and the beautiful. But to give Him gifts, we must first find Him, worship Him, and then give Him our gifts. I'll repeat this. But to give Him gifts, we must first find Him, worship Him, and then give Him our gifts. Have you found Him, worshipped Him, and honored Him with your gifts? And you don't even have to travel far like the wise man. He has come to you in your life, in your family, here, All you have to do is acknowledge Him as the Savior and Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. We need Your help. Strengthen our faith. And I know, Lord, some people will quote all kinds of doctrines to say that we don't have to ask You for faith. And yet I know that the Bible is very clear that we do need. We have to be, we do need faith. We have to be like little children to receive You in our lives. Accept Your offer and then follow You. Lord, touch each one of us this morning. May Your Holy Spirit encourage us to look forward, to look up, and to see the star, the bright shining star that has come to bring us peace and joy and bring us to eternal life. May this coming year become a year of fruitful service and fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.